Welcome to SCOTUS Cast. On February 20, 2008, the Supreme Court decided Preston v. Ferrer. The court held that when parties agreed to arbitrate all questions arising under a contract, the Federal Arbitration Act supersedes state laws lodging primary jurisdiction in another forum, whether judicial or administrative. Mark Perry of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Attorney Perry.
This is Mark Perry. I'm a partner at Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher in Washington, D.C., and I'd like to thank the Federalist Society for asking me to discuss the Supreme Court's recent decision in Preston v. Ferrer, which concerns the preemptive reach of the Federal Arbitration Act. The plaintiff in this case, Alex Ferrer, appears as Judge Alex on a television program of the same name. The defendant, Arnold Preston, is a California lawyer who represents people in the entertainment industry. These two had a contract which provided that any dispute would be arbitrated in accordance with the rules of the American Arbitration Association. A dispute arose, Preston demanded arbitration, but Ferrer responded by asking the California Labor Commissioner, a state official, to rule that the contract was invalid and unenforceable. The basis for this argument was a state law called the California Talent Agencies Act, which voids any contract entered into by an unlicensed talent agent. Ferrer argued that Preston was a talent agent without a license, and therefore the contract was void. Preston denied being a talent agent. He argued instead that he was a personal manager and not subject to the act. Ferrer filed a lawsuit in state court seeking a declaration of the party's rights under the Talent Agencies Act. The parties filed cross motions on arbitration. Ferrer sought to enjoin the arbitration, while Preston sought to compel it. The state trial court sided with Ferrer and enjoined the arbitration until the labor commissioner ruled on the validity of the contract. Preston filed an appeal, and while that appeal was pending, in 2006, the Supreme Court of the United States decided a case called Buckeye Check Cashing. In that case, the Supreme Court held that the validity of a contract providing for arbitration should be decided by an arbitrator, not by a court. Back on appeal in this case, Preston argued that under Buckeye, the trial court had made an error in enjoining the arbitration because the arbitrator, not the labor commissioner, should decide the validity of the contract. The state appellate court, in a 2-1 decision, disagreed with Preston. The majority distinguished Buckeye on the ground that it did not apply to decisions of administrative agencies. The dissenting judge was of the other view that Buckeye was controlling. The Supreme Court of the United States granted certiorari and, in an 8-1 decision, reversed. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, writing for the majority, said that the key question was, quote, who decides whether Preston acted as personal manager or as talent agent? Recall that under the Talent Agencies Act, if he was acting as a personal manager, the contract would be valid, whereas if he was acting as a talent agent, the contract would be void. Preston argued that under Buckeye, that was a question for the arbitrator. Ferrer insisted that the labor commissioner should get first crack at it. The Supreme Court agreed with Preston. The dispute turned on Section 2 of the Federal Arbitration Act, which makes any written agreement to arbitrate, quote, valid, irrevocable, and enforceable, save upon such grounds as exist at law or in equity for the revocation of any contract, end quote. The Supreme Court has long construed this provision as announcing a national policy favoring arbitration, applicable in both federal and state court. Thus, the FAA displaces, preempts, contrary state laws. The Preston Court noted that a recurring question under Section 2 of the FAA is who should decide whether grounds exist at law or in equity to invalidate an arbitration agreement. In 1967, the Court had held in Prima Paint, another case arising under the FAA, that attacks on the validity of an entire contract, as distinct from attacks aimed at the arbitration clause, are within the arbitrator's ken. That case arose in federal court. The 2006 Buckeye decision extended the same rule to cases in state court. The Preston Court concluded that Buckeye largely, if not entirely, resolves the dispute for it. The contract was covered by the FAA, and Ferrer sought to invalidate the entire contract rather than mounting a discrete challenge to the validity of the arbitration clause. Thus, the case was just like Buckeye, and the validity question should be decided by the arbitrator, not by some other entity. Ferrer sought to distinguish Buckeye by arguing that the California Talent Agencies Act merely sets up an administrative exhaustion requirement. The Supreme Court held that the procedural provisions of the Act were inconsistent with the FAA in two different ways. First, it grants the Labor Commissioner the power to decide an issue that the parties agreed to arbitrate. Therefore, it conflicted with the Buckeye principle that those questions have to be arbitrated. And second, it imposes prerequisites to the enforcement of an arbitration agreement that are not applicable to contracts generally. And thus, it ran afoul of the principle announced in cases such as Doctors Associates versus Casarato, that arbitration agreements have to be treated the same as all other contracts on equal footing. Ferrer also argued that following the state law would simply postpone rather than prevent arbitration. The court held that hindering speedy resolution of the controversy would conflict with the party's agreement to achieve streamlined proceedings and expeditious results through arbitration. The court also rejected Ferrer's argument that the involvement of an administrative agency, as opposed to a court, made any difference. The court had previously held that the Arbitration Act applies equally where an agency rather than a court is involved in the federal law context. Finally, Ferrer argued that the contract's choice of law clause should be given effect. That clause provided that the agreement would be governed by California law. But the contract also provided that any disputes would be resolved in accordance with the AAA rules, which provide that the arbitrator shall have the power to determine the validity of the contract. The court said that the best way to harmonize the parties' adoption of the AAA rules and their selection of California law is to read the latter to encompass prescriptions governing the substantive rights and obligations of the parties, but not the state's special rules limiting the authority of the arbitrators. The Preston decision is important for a number of reasons. Once again, the Supreme Court has held that the FAA preempts state laws that would have the effect of preventing arbitration. The court expressly declined to overrule its decision in a case called Southland Corp. versus Keating, which had extended the FAA to state law, to state actions in state court. Justice Thomas, the sole dissenter in Preston, dissented on that ground. He has consistently argued in FAA cases that it applies only to cases in federal court. The majority has rejected that rule. Indeed, the Preston court's indication that the FAA preempts application of state laws that would delay arbitration, not just prevent it outright, is somewhat of an expansion of the preemptive reach of the FAA. It's also noteworthy that the Preston opinion does not display the antipathy to arbitration that has been evident in the opinions of some other courts, notably the California Supreme Court, which is important in the sense that California law is involved in this case. The majority opinion in the California Court of Appeal was consistent with a line of recent California cases, and the Supreme Court's decision here, while limited to the who decides question, may signal a broader retreat from the anti-arbitration principles that are being developed in California. The Preston Court also reaffirmed that where the parties agree to arbitrate, that generally means that everything will go to the arbitrators. Thus, parties contemplating including an arbitration agreement in their contract who wish to exclude some issue from the arbitration need to do so explicitly. The Preston Court also confirmed that the party's specification of a particular set of procedural rules, there are the AAA rules, although many other rules are available to contracting parties, that selection will be given effect. Parties should therefore be very careful in the rules they specify, and if they wish certain rules not to apply, they should say that directly in their contract. Finally, I'd like to point out something that the Preston Court leaves open and that will, I believe, be give the opportunity for future litigation. On several occasions, the Preston Court drew a distinction between challenges to the validity of the contract as a whole and challenges directed only at the arbitration clause. Now, this distinction has been recognized in other cases, for example, in the 1967 Prima Paint decision, and in some of the other who decides cases that the Supreme Court has had. For example, in the 2002 Housam decision, the court said that
gateway disputes about whether the parties are bound by a given arbitration clause is a prerequisite question of arbitrability that is decided by a court, not an arbitrator. And in one sense, the Preston observations may be consistent with that thinking. But if we move beyond the who decides question to what they are deciding, this distinction may create opportunities for parties to attempt to avoid arbitration clauses. For example, under the doctrine of unconscionability, litigants and courts often reason that if the arbitration clause is unconscionable, it may be stricken, even if the contract as a whole is not invalid. This distinction, if it's extended that far, seems difficult to reconcile with Supreme Court precedents. For example, in the 1994 decision in Allied Bruce Terminix versus Dobson, the court said that, quote, what states may not do is decide that a contract is fair enough to enforce all its basic terms, price, service, credit, but not fair enough to enforce its arbitration clause. And in Perry versus Thomas, a 1986 case, the court said that, quote, a state law principle that takes its meaning precisely from the fact that a contract to arbitrate is at issue does not comport with Section 2. Thus, while Preston versus Ferrer generally stands as another in a long line of Supreme Court cases broadly construing the Federal Arbitration Act, including its displacement of contrary state laws, its distinction between challenges to the contract as a whole and challenges to the validity of the arbitration clause may have opened the door a little for persons and courts seeking to avoid contractual arbitration provisions. How wide that opening might be, or whether it exists at all, will be for future cases to resolve. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.